One of the favorite songs by Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir is, God is working. He's still working. God is working even now. You see, all those kids, and you think back 45 plus years ago, I was one of those kids at Powell Fort. And people have devoted their lives, they poured their lives into serving generation after generation, and the Lord is faithful. He multiplies all that work. For the past 4 months, I have been struggling. I have never struggled so much. Talking about CBM, one of the key things they do is to encourage Bible memory. And for 4 months, I've been trying to memorize three short little verses. And I don't know what's going on. I don't have a really good memory anyway, but I've never had this much trouble before. And, maybe it's brain fog from post-COVID. Maybe it's my aging brain. Maybe it's too many distractions. Maybe it's information overload. I don't know what's going on, but I just struggle with these three verses. And the topic of the verses is prayer, and it's really about laboring in prayer, so it's fitting, right? So we're going to be talking about consequential prayer this morning, and the passage is going to be Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And I've in the past memorized Colossians 1, 9 through 12, and it's actually really similar. It's the kind of the flow is similar, and I think I keep getting off on the Colossians passage when I try to recite this. The verses are, and this I pray, that your love would abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. And I want to say, so that you may walk, because that's what Colossians says, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And this I pray, consequential prayer. How do we pray for one another? You know, we always take time to ask for prayer requests on Sunday mornings. And we're hoping that you will write these down and that you will pray. Barbara says, you know, she knows that we don't even know the people that she asked for prayer for, and she knows that we're praying. And this is how we are called to do prayer, to pray for one another with purpose and laboring. And that's the topic this morning. So let me open in prayer. Father, as I speak, guide my words by your Holy Spirit. Help us to see what your Spirit has for us this morning from this passage in Philippians. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I see four ways that we can pray for one another in this passage. Number one, abounding love. Pray that our love would abound in real knowledge and all discernment. Strange words, aren't they? Your love would abound in knowledge and discernment. That's the way it struck me originally. But think about it. Don't we need to perceive what's really going on in people's lives when we love them? We see people who are harried and worried and stressed in life every day. And a lot of times we react to that. But maybe they're having a family crisis. Maybe they're in debt trouble. Maybe they have an addiction problem. We need to see past the surface things that are blocking us from loving them, and we need to pray for them in that way, that they would experience the love of Christ, the freedom of Christ, the care and peace of Christ. Psalm 119:66, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. It's a learning process. Teach me. It's not something we instantly know. Teach me. It's a growth process, knowledge and discernment. Proverbs 18:15, the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So acquiring and seeking, those are implying some time is passing. It's a growth process, as we say before. Need to mull things over. how can I love people deeper every day? This is why I think knowledge and discernment are important in our love for one another. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. He manifests through us to other people. Other people can smell us coming spiritually, you know. The knowledge of Christ is emanating from us as we go from place to place. People are not seeing a stressed out, irritable, vindictive Christian. They're seeing someone who loves them deeply, who wants to see them grow in the same knowledge of Christ that we have. And the last verse I have here is Ephesians 3:19. Paul's prayer is that we know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And here we see knowledge is coming back full circle to love again. Points us to the inexhaustible love of Christ. As an illustration, I hauled Margaret off to Wyoming to go hiking this year, and one of the places I'd been reading about was Europe Canyon in the Wyoming Wind River mountain range. And Europe Canyon is the closest we've been to Europe ever. And figured, you know, if I never make it to France, at least I'd go to Europe Canyon. Whenever I read a hiking book, I always, you know, idealize it, and I picture all these passes they talk about and side trips they talk about it. You know, with great enthusiasm, John, you know how it is. You go, I could do that, and I could do this. I could add this little side trip. And sure enough, we get there, and we set up our camp, and I told Margaret, hey, let's go hike up that distant. There's a pass up here. It's only 11,500 feet up, you know. It's only 2,000 feet to climb vertically. That's only a half a mile. We could do that. It's really more like 3 miles, but my plans abound with great ideas, but reality always sets in. You know, we hike half a mile off trail and see this lake, but at the same time, there's dark thunderclouds building up on the horizon right above. There's lightning flashing down, and we go, well, you know, this plan is being thwarted. Let's go back down and go up the canyon further. That was my idea, right, Margaret? And we go up the canyon further, and the storm starts following us up the canyon. So abundant, you know, we're talking about abundant love. I have abundant plans, and a lot of times they're thwarted by reality. We basically turned around, went back, sat in the tent while it rained, and then came out to a beautiful sunset later on. But sometimes in life we need to put our exuberant plans on hold and have discerning love that says you can be patient, you can be calm and collected, and think about God's creation in the comfort of a campsite and not while climbing up on a cliff somewhere. Discerning love. That's abounding. Second, approving excellence. See, in verse 10, Paul said that you may approve the things that are excellent. Excellence in the Greek can also be translated to make a difference, to surpass something that is more valuable. Excellence. Surpassing or excellence. Love abounding in real knowledge and discernment brings about change so that you would approve things that are excellence. Make a difference in a positive way. Another way of looking at it. In Matthew, Jesus used this illustration about the legalism of the Sabbath versus doing what is right. And he says, what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And I think the takeaway from this passage for me is that a compassionate response is what really defines the law. The law is not there to put the structure up to keep you from, you know, maneuvering out and around it. It's to define what your response should be, your compassionate response should be. And for us, as we're praying for other believers, we should pray that they would value people over rules, right? We know that people are in different stages in their spiritual growth. Pray that they experience the love of Christ. Pray that they are saved from whatever pit that they're falling into. You know, that we should come alongside them, as Galatians 6 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We should be encouraging one another, approving the excellent things. Hebrews 8:6, talking about Jesus, the high priest, he has obtained a more excellent ministry. That's the same word there. By as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant. Christ, our high priest, has a more excellent ministry. And he's now taken the right hand of the throne of God, and he's interceding for us. That is his excellent ministry. Our job here on earth is to intercede for one another, you know, to pray for one another and to perform prayer intercession for one another. And finally, Colossians 3 reminds us that we've been raised up with Christ. So our job is to keep seeking the things that are eternal. Tom talked about this last week, dust versus the eternal things. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. What is more valuable and what is more excellent? Those are the things we're to focus on. Margaret and I have been working on Dad and Connie's house in Broad Street. And just thinking about this, 1918, they built this house out of excellent materials. They had the latest unplaned lumber. They had the best asbestos-wrapped pipes. They had the best asbestos tile. They had the best asbestos roof tiles, roof shingles. They had radiator heating and a nice big giant cast iron boiler. You know, everything was great. It was all excellent back then in 1918. But, you know, these many years later, the roof starts to crack apart and tiles fall off. It was built by the Stringfellow family, or built for the Stringfellow family. They have knob and tube wiring. The wires are starting to basically fray and fall apart. The insulation's falling apart. Thankfully, Alan and crew replaced the boiler, I don't know how many years ago. It was like 10 years ago or something. So that's taken care of. But lots of things that need to be improved. And so our goal is to peel off the four layers of wallpaper on the walls and patch the holes, and, you know, the fallen plaster needs to be dealt with and all of that. We're all subject to decay and to rot and to falling apart. And we see it in each other's lives, don't we? You know, our job is not to focus on that, but to focus on the eternal things, lift one another up, approve the eternally excellent things. Number three, ardent virtuosity. I came up with all A's here, so ardent is one of those words you don't use that much. Verse 10, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, sincere and blameless, or could also translate those words as pure and not causing to stumble. Blameless is not stumbling. In 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, Paul uses that word sincere. I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you would remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets. Reminders are a good thing. You know, like we're talking about my brain not remembering these three verses. You know, I have that note card sitting on my dining room table, and I look at it every day just trying to hammer those three verses home because my brain's just slipping a cog, you know. And that's why we encourage you to memorize verses. You know, this smartphone generation, guys, you're going to lose your phone, your memory card's going to fry, something's going to happen. Commit it to your brain before it starts falling out like mine. Anyway, memorizing is an important thing. We need to have something to mull over as we're doing our daily chores, you know, driving on the highway, etc. Reminders are a good thing. Even when we're very sincere, we still get distracted. Isn't that right? We get forgetful. So as you're praying for me, pray that I would be focused. Pray for one another for sincerity, for ardent virtuosity, if you want to use those words, that we're sincere and blameless, virtuous. Acts 24, Paul says he also does his best to maintain a blameless conscience. So we need to evaluate where we are regularly. You know, don't rest on your laurels. Evaluate. I do my best to maintain a blameless conscience. Think about it. Evaluate it. In Romans 14, here's a passage talking about judging what one another does. We're told not to judge one another. Rather, to determine this, don't put an obstacle or a stumbling block in front of one another. So evaluate. This is something you can pray for. Lord, am I causing a weaker brother to stumble? How can I change the way I act toward them to not cause them to stumble? Pursue peace. Build one another up. Ardent virtuosity. Now, this is a long illustration. I'll try to rush it. Talk about ardent work. Hard work. Back to my weakness of picking out really tough challenges. Margaret and I were camping up at a lake up here, and we had to get from here to 11 and a half miles distance. But as usual, I over-optimistically evaluated all the descriptions I've read in the hiking books. So we actually had maybe hike up to this pass that I'm on now, but there's another pass in here too. And then we had to hike down to this lake and then up another pass and over in this valley here and then up another pass and down. And you'll see all those in a minute. And there's a lot of up and down in there, a lot of ardent work. And ultimately we get to that valley and I had a glimpse of what, I had a notion of what this was going to look like. I didn't share it with Margaret, I'll be honest with you. Because I knew there'd be some resistance. So you see a character flaw in here, I think, right? Anyway, it looked a lot worse in reality than it did in my optimism. So we get to this point on the trail here, and the trail just stops, and basically you wander through boulders for a mile. And Margaret's seeing this, the distance. I say there's a pass, and of course you look up here and you see there's a pass there, and that just looks impossible. And it really is impossible without a lot of effort. So we crawl our way up through there, and really the pass is up in here. It's actually higher. So we got there after a lot of sweat and pain, and we cross over to the next valley and the beautiful lake and this beautiful mountain. And for perspective, the distance from this lake to the top of that is 2,000 feet, almost half a mile distance. And it doesn't look so large until you think about it. Wait a minute, if I walk for 10 minutes, that's about a half a mile at a brisk pace. Anyway, after we'd recovered our breath, then we started looking around for where we're going next. And unfortunately, going next was climbing up this and that way. So you get there, And then you realize that really isn't the top. There's another summit, and then another summit, and you keep going on. And finally, after a whole day's struggle, we finally reached the top, and you could start going downhill again. That was the most ardent trip I've been on. You know, that is a picture of the Christian walk. We keep thinking we've arrived, don't we? And the Lord gives us the strength to struggle up to that next pass. We catch our breath, and then he goes, I've got another job for you, and it's to go here. And you get to that point, and he lets you rest, and then he says, I've got another descent for you. This one's going to be steep. Talk about the valley of the shadow of death in Psalm 23. And then he brings us up to a next summit, and he's constantly giving us the strength, the day-to-day strength that we need. And a lot of times he doesn't show us all of what he has planned for us, does he? Ardent virtuosity. Okay, the last point. Absorbing righteousness. Verse 11. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness. There's a bunch of passages you should immediately leap to when you think about fruit of righteousness, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Righteousness that fills us and that permeates our lives. That's the goal of our walk in Christ. The source of all that is Jesus Christ. And that immediately takes me to John, where he was saying in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know, he is what we're clinging to, and he's given us the nutrition and the fruitfulness, developing the fruit of righteousness in us. So our goal is to abide in him and to cling to the vine. Hebrews 12:11, we don't like talking about discipline, but discipline in Hebrews is defined as something that is sorrowful, yet it gives us training, and after the training, we yield peaceful fruit of righteousness. And then to two passages talking about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, we see all those fruits of the Spirit there. They're all coming out of a walk in faith, a walk in Christ. And Colossians 3, 12 through 14, we're told to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, and so on. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So here at the fourth point, absorbing righteousness, beyond all that, put on love. Now we've circled all the way back to the beginning again, right? Abounding in love. That was the first point. That's kind of neat how that works that way. We're never there yet. We keep on looping back. Keep on repeating those as we pray for one another. For my last illustration, I want to talk about, this is on the topic of absorbing, hiking in fire-burned areas like the Teton, Washakie Wilderness area, where they've had forest fires in the past. You don't really think about it. You think about a dry and barren land after the trees have all been burned down. But those trees used to absorb the water that would flow down from the mountain slopes here. There's a 2,000-foot plateau up above here. And all that water would seep down, and the pine trees in the area would absorb water. They say maybe 150 gallons per day per average pine tree. And you think of all those trees that have now been burned, you see the remnants of the fire in there. Where does that water go? Well, it's still water, it's still running down off the snowpack in the springtime. It's still coming down the mountain slopes. Well, the trees aren't sucking it up, so all the ferns and the boggy plants and mosses and lichens all start sucking it up. But they're what? They're like sponges. So as you're hiking through there, you're sinking into unseen bogs. And in Labrador, we were out in Labrador, it's the same way. You just don't see the water. You take a step and you're down 12 inches in water. Very, very interesting. as you're walking your spiritual walk, think about absorbing the righteousness of Christ in the same way. You know, you don't see it necessarily, right? It's, the walk of faith is an unseen thing. We walk by faith, not by sight, we're told. We're called to keep on absorbing, keep on depending on as we take a step after step. Drinking the living water, coming down off the heights, to use that illustration. He's supplying us day by day. So, in summary, and we wrap it up here, as we pray for one another, we got four practical ways we can pray for one another. That we abound in love, that we approve the things that are excellent, that we have an ardent virtuosity, and that we absorb righteousness. Four quick points to pray for one another. Downstairs, we're going to have a covered dish dinner in a few minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer, and I'll lead us in a blessing for the food. And then downstairs, while there's mayhem, we don't have to try to get everyone's attention. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for Philippians 1, 9 through 11. The ministry of your Holy Spirit as you teach us how to pray. We ask that you bless the time we have downstairs in fellowship. Help us to encourage one another, bless one another as we're down there. Thank you for the food you provided. Thank you for the hard work people have put into making it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.